Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's BudPod 133.
BudPod 133. One PP. Just one PP, please.
One PP.
That's what I feel like when I go into a public restroom where you have to put in like a coin to enter the turnstiles, yeah, like in a train station or something. I feel like saying, one peepee, please. And you put in the coin and you buy a peepee.
Do you think that those are gone now because of COVID or because of just general...
I feel like...
King's Cross is free now.
Is it free?
Yeah.
The toilets. The one I'm thinking of is Paddington. Is that one? I haven't tried the toilet there for a while.
Free toilets.
Pooping for free, pooping like God intended, pooping for me. pushing out my back-ended...
Nice, distended.
Pushing out brown distended. Yeah, that's good. Pooping for free. Poo free, as free as the wind blows.
I think maybe it's gone because I don't remember the last time I had to fumble for like a 20 pence piece to try and have a 20p.
Oh, it's absolute torture. It's like something from Squid Game, having to find the correct change when you have explosive diarrhea grumbling in your colon.
Yeah, and you don't want to miss a train.
Yeah, Squid Train. Have you watched any of Squid Game?
Me and the lady were going to start yesterday, but we were too tired for gore.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, like gore is not something you sort of sit back and relax with, eh?
You sort of go like a hot bath as you watch people get dismembered somehow.
Yeah, it's gory, it's violent.
Yeah. I have watched a bit of, I think it's called Invincible, the cartoon.
What's Invincible?
It's like a grown-up, it reminds me a lot of Watchmen, actually.
Oh, yeah, it's a cartoon.
Yeah, it's an animated, adult animated series. Like, it can be very, very gory.
Oh, great. What's it on?
Prime, I think.
Prime time. Optimus Prime. Yeah, I'd love to watch a gory cartoon.
It's good, man. It's very strong sort of Watchmen vibes, Adult Swim vibes. It reminds me...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it reminds me of Metalocalypse, if anyone listening has ever seen that, and Watchmen.
Metalocalypse,
yeah.
Wow.
It's an old Adult Swim series. Bit of Venture Brothers vibe to it. There's so many great grown-up cartoons out there. They're so funny. Especially Venture Brothers, if people haven't seen Venture Brothers. It's excellent. Or at least I remember it being excellent. I haven't seen it in a long time. Did you ever watch Johnny Quest when you were young?
Oh, gosh. I remember Johnny Quest.
Yeah. So Venture Brothers is like a grown-up, like an adult, like funny and fairly violent Johnny Quest.
The most adult cartoon I grew up with was Gargoyles. Yeah. Have I mentioned that on this podcast?
Oh, yeah. Gargoyles.
Gargoyles are so serious and brooding.
I remember it was very mournful.
Even as a child, I was like, I can't believe this is a cartoon. It's so sad and, like, dark. It's like... I mean, like the gargoyles of Macbeth's castle or something. It's like really like grown up and gothic.
And I remember they were very like, you can never be happy. You are a gargoyle. Like it was.
Yeah, every at the end of every one, the main gargoyle, he just goes back on his perch and he turns into stone, like sad that he can't, he can never have a happy life.
Yes, you're right. I've looked it up. After spending 1,000 years in an enchanted, petrified state, the gargoyles have been who've been transported from medieval Scotland.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. Yeah,
are reawakened in modern day New York City. New York City.
Gosh, that's it. I mean, it's a brilliant concept. It'd be a great like graphic novel series. Maybe it was. Also, I mean, the elephant in the room is they aren't gargoyles, they're grotesques.
Yes, yeah, none of them are vomiting water. That's exactly it.
I mean, this is like... Yeah, this is... The pedant's favourite masonry fact is that unless water is gurgling, i.e. gargoyling through its mouth, it is not a gargoyle, it's a grotesque.
Yeah. Do you think that's where we get gargling from?
I thought it was the other way around. I thought gargoyle
make a face,
was from gargoyle.
Make a face and a noise like a gargoyle.
Well, it's just onomatopoeic, isn't it?
Gargle. Yeah, it is.
Gargle, gargle.
I found the opening narration of Goliath, the main gargoyle, the head one.
Goliath, right, yeah.
So it starts pretty, you know, like good but not crazy yet, right? So it says 1,000 years ago. Okay, so that's actually the period I studied at university.
Yeah,
1,000 years ago, superstition and the sword ruled. Right, that's pretty good.
Yes.
Oh, superstition and the sword. Yeah. Okay, for a given definition of superstition, it was a time of darkness. Well, yeah, kind of. It was a world of fear. Yes, that's fair. Okay. It was the age of gargoyles. Hmm? Well, you've slipped that
Excuse
in there.
Excuse me? It was the age of gargoyles.
Hang on a minute. That's when my hand shoots up in the lecture. What?
That's so funny.
1,000 years That's so ago, funny. Superstition and the sword ruled. It was a time of darkness. It was a world of fear. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was the age of gargoyles.
Does it continue beyond
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Stone by day, warriors by night. We were betrayed by the humans we had sworn to protect. Frozen in stone by a magic spell for 1,000 years. Now, here in Manhattan... The spell is broken. How? Okay, whatever. And we live again. We are defenders of the night. We are gargoyles.
Great. I mean, it's stirring stuff if you overlook the whole Age of Gargoyles thing. Also, if they're stone by day and warriors by night, you know how I would defeat that army? Attack in the day.
Yeah,
we can't defeat these almighty gargoyles. They're the perfect soldier. They can fly. They rip you to shreds. They're completely inanimate for half of the day. Sorry, what? They're completely inanimate for half... They're stone during the time of day. Oh, but it's the time of day where visibility is lowest? No, it's the time of day where we can see most clearly. Right, so
we have the most natural
maybe attack
energy.
Then? Maybe attack then, when you can see and when your enemy is immobile. I'm gonna have to take this to. I'll workshop this and get back to you.
I'll pitch it. I'll pitch it. But I don't think they're gonna like it. The best enemy, for never finishing either way, would be vampires. Then, wouldn't it?
That's right,
then they'd both be like, oh, if only we could be awake when the other guy's not awake.
If only we could be awake when they're just lying in a coffin and when going outside will literally kill them straight away. How do we defeat these almighty beings?
Isn't it funny that vampires are immortal but they still need to sleep?
That's true.
What's their argument? Well, I have to sleep or I'll, you know, still be alive.
I'll have to sleep or I guess I'd just be tired.
They'd make mistakes. They'd make vampire mistakes.
They make mistakes. Their short-term memory is shot. They get cranky.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah, but it's interesting. It's like, so your sort of metabolism and biology is so different to us that you can live forever, but similar enough that every 24 hours you need 8 hours rest.
Yeah, and in fact, no, 16 hours rest on average, right?
Oh, right, because it's the full, all daylight.
I guess it depends where, like, you know, if they're in the Arctic or whatever. It averages out at 16 and 8, doesn't it? 16 of day, 8 of night, like averaged over the whole year. Is that right?
Well, I guess in the Arctic, like half of the year they're awake non-stop and then they sleep for the other. They have to hibernate, basically.
Arctic vampires are like...
Arctic vampires. There's the Cartoon Network show I'm going to pitch.
That would be good. In the far lands of the frozen north.
1,000 years ago. Yes. The Arctic, it is the land of fear, a land of superstition and the sword, and a land of vampires. Yeah, it's a land of snow. Yep. It's a land of ice. Correct. It's a land of pure daylight and pure darkness. It is the land of vampires. Sorry? Yeah, that's my cartoon. That's my serious cartoon.
That would be
Arctic vampire.
I think that's good. And you could say that, like, you could say that maybe Dracula, because you know Dracula sent himself on a ship to the UK. It crashed at Whitby.
Oh, sorry, I've got someone ringing the bell. Just give me a sec.
Go, go, go! This is live. Phil being rung, having his bell rung, listeners. But what's it going to be? I'm going to say Amazon delivery. Probably. Let's find out.
Hello. Oh, yeah. Yeah, please tell the listener it is an Amazon delivery. I'm awake on my microphone.
Nice. It's an Amazon delivery. I got it. I knew it was a Bezos. It was a Bezos. I'm going to keep it in. It's Gonzo. I like it. What did you order?
No one can hear what I'm saying.
They can't hear what you're saying. I'm relaying it. What did you order?
A bin.
A bin. Yeah. That's like a riddle, Phil. Like, you've ordered a bin, and the second you get the bin, the first thing that goes in the bin is the packaging of the bin.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nice. I like that a lot. Phil's away from his microphone, listeners, by the way. That's what that's about. He's walking back up. I liked hearing, I don't think the listeners heard, but you entered a sort of code, which I quite liked.
A code?
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, no, I didn't enter a code. It's just the gate that lets you into the house. It's got like a little screen thing where people buzz in, and so you can actually look at their face. And you can bloop, you press a button to say hello, and you bloop, you press a button to open the gate for them.
Okay.
Yes, I have had a bin delivered, everyone. And yeah, it's the only thing you can be delivered where you unpack it and then put what was on the outside into it.
Yes, exactly.
It's the only delivery that swallows itself.
Is there anything else that you immediately sort of invert it like that?
Socks?
Yeah, maybe. What kind of bin was it? I want to know what's your taste in bins.
Well, this, you know, I've been thinking about bins for a long time. It's one of those like sneaky big commitments. Like you don't think about a bin as like, you think it's not something you can just buy. But when you stop thinking about it, it's like, this is going to be like a fundamental feature of my home.
Yes.
It's something that I'm going to interact with every day, many times a day. And so you want to get it right. So I was thinking this bin, Because this is my first time living in my own space, and like it's up to me how I furnish the place and how I manage this the space. And I wanted a bin that's both... Is this good radio? I wanted a bin that was both good for the rubbish and somewhere I can put the recycling. But I don't have much lateral space. And all the bins I was looking at were like really fat and wide, but quite low. So they're taking up all the space on the ground.
Yeah.
But still having to bend over to put it in. So this is a bin that has the bins on top of each other.
This is a bin got like... long and thin.
This is a can tall as a man.
It is not wide. Climb inside.
In two parts it comes. For old cans and old buns.
Very nice.
Both perishable and not. Will find their place in these boxes.
Also, don't, Phil, take careful note of how many litres it is, because you do what I do, yeah. And you go to the shops, and then you try and buy bin bags, and they're like, do you want a 12-litre thing or a 5-litre? And you go, I don't know how many bin litres I have.
It's 30 litres each, baby.
Damn!
30L times 2, 60L total.
Mm-hmm.
I think 30L is the standard, but then no bags come in 30L. It's like the bin bag industry, which in the vernacular of this podcast just means like a bad industry. But here, the literal...
Yes.
That's a bin bags industry, but this is literally the bin bags industry. But they don't seem to communicate with the bin industry, because it's like neither has told the other this is how big bins are.
If this was a Tim Burton film, it would be because the head of the bin industry and the head of the bin bag industry are rival brothers who don't speak for 50 years. And they live in mansions on tall, spindly hills that look at each other.
It was the age of fear, of mansions and hills. It was the age of bins.
What brand? I want to see the Amazon reviews of this bin, Phil. What brand of bin?
It's a Joseph and Joseph.
It is two brothers.
You know that? Oh my gosh, it is. How did I? Yes, of course.
Oh God.
But then they're both making the bin, though. Maybe one will. Maybe one left to make the bags.
It's because it's like a Joseph and his Technicolor bin bag. He got jealous of how colorful his bin bag was.
So this is the name of the bin. It's the Joseph and Joseph Totem.
Whoa.
Max. So it's stacked as a totem, which if I was a native Canadian, I would find quite insulting.
Yeah.
To use.
Yeah, your sacred bin.
My sacred... I mean, they're basically gravestones. They're basically eulogies, right? A totem. They're there to mark the death of a significant member of the society. But it's also how we in England describe bins that go one on top of the other.
I'm looking at this bin, listeners, and it is like a space-age bin where it's on top of itself and it's kind of... It's a you know what, yeah. Phil? I never thought I'd say this. It's a hell of a bin.
Thank you. I think it's quite a handsome bin.
It is a handsome bin. That's a good way, Phil, to nag a man.
You're a handsome bin. Well, you're a handsome bin of a fella.
Well, aren't you a handsome bin of a man? He'll definitely sleep with you then.
Also, I'm pretty sure that I've just looked this up, and it's, for some reason, suddenly £40 cheaper than it was when I bought it 2 days ago.
You have been Joseph and Joseph'd.
I've been Joseph'd, baby.
You've been Joseph, baby. Also, tell your friends. That's what the guy says.
the top of bin cover here, the cover that goes on top of the refuse, the rubbish, the gross rubbish, the wet garbage. There's like a filter in it to filter out the smell.
Ooh.
And it's like, remember to replace the filter every 3 months. And I'm just like, go fuck yourself. It's one filter until I die. I hope that filter's a strong one, because it's staying there forever.
Remember to replace the stink layer every time you... I've already stopped reading.
Have you ever had a sensor bin? Now, there's a false economy. It's a bad idea. Have you had like one of these fancy bins where you wave your hand over it and it goes zip?
What? Like a Jedi bin?
Yeah, Jedi bin. It's one of those ideas that on paper sounds really cool, but in practice it's so fucking stupid. Because we had it in the flat for a while, and at first like, zoot, wow, I don't have to touch the bin, cool. Zoop, yeah, I'm keeping my hands clean. And then eventually, after 2 weeks, it goes, and it's not got enough power to open the lid. And you have to replace the batteries. But guess where the battery compartment is, Pierre? It's under the bin, it's inside the bin. And it's a compartment with the grooves and little gaps so that it can collect all the gunk that has been evaporating upwards through the bin. And it can just seep into this lovely cavity that seems almost designed to trap gunk and smell and moisture. And you have to take out the batteries and... It's disgusting. It's horrible. And so now I'm foot pedal all the way. Foot pedal. Foot pedal.
The batteries for the cleaning robot are located in the anus of this dog. That's exactly the sort of stupid fucking decision. Also, like, batteries, I mean, like, you're just smashing your way through double A so that you don't have to touch your bin, even though none of this is necessary.
Yeah, I know.
Phil,
although now I've just realized, yeah. I don't know how actually the top of this bin opens, and it isn't actually a pedal bin. God fucking damn it.
Oh, there's some... I'm reading the reviews, and some of the reviews are quite annoyed about the lid release.
Oh, crap.
Loads of the reviews are very pleased, Phil, but I have bad news. There is one very bad review in German, and it's all the worse for being in German. I've no idea what it means, but it sounds so much worse in German.
Well, I'll be taking this bin for a spin later today, and I'll let you know what I think. Well, taking it for a bin spin.
I'm afraid, Phil, that someone called GSL says that the bin is absoluter Verkauf.
What does Kauf mean?
I don't know what any of it means. But whatever it is, Phil, that for this guy or girl, for this Herr or Frau, this bin was absoluter Verkauf. Vorher so ein teures Produkt ist der Verschluss.
Oh, no, Öffnungsmechanismus
ein Witz. It sounds pretty bad, Phil. This is
that sounds bad.
Am Anfang hat der Deckel sich noch auf Knopfdruck geöffnet.
God, shit, that doesn't sound good.
Nach drei Monate lieder schon nicht mehr. That sounds terrible. Das Produkt wird also reklamiert. Phil, the product is also reklamiert.
What have I done?
You've bought an absolute Verkauf. That's what you've done.
Oh God!
I've never.
The brothers Joseph have had me again.
I think the der Bruders Josef might be more accurate.
The Bruders Josef.
That's like a question from Shooting Stars. Is there anything more German than reviewing a bin online?
But thank God for them. I mean, these people are all weirdos. They're kind of people that, you know, will review a coat hanger. But you need them when you're looking for coat hangers. You're so glad they're there.
Yeah, this is the thing, isn't it? It's hard to have a view either way on these guys, because they are like a kind of, well, they're a bit like they're the hero we need right now, aren't they, when we're looking at these products?
Yeah, exactly. Not the heroes we wanted, and not the heroes we'll value, but the heroes we need.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm looking up one of the primary villains of Gargoyles. I'm still on the Gargoyles. Okay, Phil, here's a good game. How many... Wow, okay. I thought it would be different to that. How many episodes of Gargoyles do you think there were? So they're half an hour each.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say... How many episodes... 80.
78. Whoa.
Wow. Nice one.
You're the Gargoyle Whisperer.
Well done, Phil. Yeah.
78 episodes of the fucking Gargoyles.
Yeah, that's a lot, eh?
What? Can that possibly be right? Yeah. That seems like a lot of Gargoyle action. The main villain is a guy called... one of the main villains, David Xanatos.
Wow, okay. Okay. I feel like some of the villains that they're like... Did they survive from medieval Scotland? Like, through some magic?
There's a couple of other magic stuff.
Yeah.
Magic lads and lasses. But he is the founder, owner, and CEO of Xanatos Enterprises and a member of the Illuminati. There you go.
Wow, they had like full-blown Illuminati shit in there.
There's too many... If I had to do notes on this, I'd be like, how many layers are there of this?
Yeah, I feel like the Gargoyles thing alone is enough to have to explain without going into the Illuminati.
Yeah, it's... I'm already busy trying to figure out how Gargoyles work before you start to go, okay, also everything else is real as well.
Mm-mm.
I would feel like I had enough on my plate with Gargoyles.
Yeah.
So he's got this. There's this whole thing of Xanatos. It's like 7 paragraphs about him trying to become. His quest is for immortality, Phil.
Mm.
As I'm sure you could have guessed, and it's all about him making a deal with Puck, the son of the god of the forest, Oberon.
So it's like Shakespearean shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, it takes draws a lot from Shakespeare, I guess, because I think, yeah, there's Macbeth and stuff in there.
Yeah, and he's buying the castle in from Scotland and moving it to New York and doing all this, and he's getting a rogue freelance geneticist to make clones, and then
wow.
It goes on and on and on, and then at the end of this, at the end of this fifth paragraph of this incredibly... overcomplicated origin story. Here's the final sentence. During this time, he also discovered the existence of the Illuminati and became a member.
That would be such a funny... That's such a funny, like, final line. You know, in, like, a feel-good 80s movie where, at the end, there's a freeze frame on all the characters and a bit of writing that tells you what they did
like
next?
Animal House. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He eventually discovered the Illuminati and became a member. It would be such a funny... such a funny final note.
Yeah, and it's for a really, like, it's for one of the least interesting characters.
Oh, yeah, and a bit goofy and like... yeah. The final frame is him just sort of smiling benignly.
Yeah, he's...
He discovered the Illuminati and became a member.
And it just moves on straight to a guy who's like, he's now the head of a chain of carpet stores. Hang on, could you... No, we've got to get through them all.
Now, the Illuminati was, as far as I know, was real, but only for about 30 years or something. Do you know much about the Illuminati? It was a real society of, I think, intellectuals, but I think they weren't particularly powerful, and they were only around for a couple of decades.
Yes, they... Okay.
But I guess that's what they want you to think.
Well, I was going to say, it'd be funny. What do you know about the Illuminati? Nothing, Philip. Nothing. Nothing. I think we must know a few people who believe in the Illuminati. But yeah, you're right. It seems to have been a late 1700s Bavarian science club.
That's it. Yeah. Bavarian science.
Delicious. Delicious.
The only smoked science.
And the only science where all the little test tubes and things are just full of wheat beer.
Yeah, and the coats, the lab coats are lab lederhosen. They're white and they're Likata's lederhosen.
Yeah, it's all made from science lab coat material, but they all look like yodelers.
Yeah, exactly.
They announce their discoveries through like a big alpine horn. Have you ever been to Bavaria, Phil?
No, much as the pity, I'd love to. I just want to eat sausages and drink beer in like a valley, in an old town.
In a beer keller.
Yeah, we're chatting up frows and with pleats in their hair.
If you show up and they all start going, sort of, you just hear like, Josef and Josef. And pointing at you, and they go, oh no, they know, I fell for it.
No, I'm the laughing stock of the town. They know about Josef and Josef.
They know about the Absolute Felkauf. Something like Gargoyles or DuckTales or all these cartoons that you just...
DuckTales. 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 I can't remember. How does the tune go?
DuckTales. Woo! Wasn't that it?
Oh, well done. Yeah.
Well, I can't remember my pin code sometimes, but I've got that in there.
Yep.
I've got DuckTales forever.
That's a brain that can prioritize.
Isn't it funny how, as a kid, we must have sat in front of gargoyles absolutely fucking baffled for hours?
Yeah. Yeah. So difficult. So dense. So impenetrable. But I have a lot of respect for those show commissioners who will not condescend to children. Who are like, nope. Kids will understand these hour-long dramas about gargoyles and the Illuminati that take heavily from Shakespearean canon.
This is the thing, is that I guess...
There's a commissioner who... thinks highly of children.
Yeah, or does not give a fuck what they think. Either way.
Yeah, there's someone who was passed on for numerous HBO pitches and was like, fine, I'll do it as a cartoon.
Well, this is it. I think I've been told by people who've written for kids' TV and have tried to write kids' TV shows that in some ways kids' TV is some of the hardest stuff to write, because if you remove all the complexity, actually it gets harder, because you go, well, then what are the reasons for anything happening?
Yeah.
So
yeah, to maintain someone's interest but also make it accessible and understandable.
Well, and make sense for the writers, because then otherwise it gets to the point where reality falls to bits, where you go, oh well, then he turns into a duck, I don't know, you know, it's just
Well, that's something that Adventure Time seems able to do.
Yeah.
Adventure Time is like, it's a law unto itself, but it's so good and so funny. And they don't bother explaining why anything is anything. It just is.
That's true, actually. And it's all the funnier for it. So they just go, this is a sort of screaming lemon man. And you go, okay.
Yeah, and Jake the dog can just become very huge and he can become small and that's it.
He's stretchy. Yeah, he's a stretchy dog. And you need to get on board with that. I think the lesson here, Phil, is that in the face of children, right, with fiction, it's just about absolutely refusing to apologize or explain.
Yeah, it's the same is the same rule that governs adulthood. Don't explain, don't apologize.
That's right. And actually, maybe can you talk about Phil? Listeners, Phil has been sleeping with another podcast.
Yeah, I didn't want you to find out like this, but also I didn't want you to hear it from anyone else. Which one are we talking about?
Oh, which one? No, Richard Herring.
Oh yes, I was on the Richard Herring Leicester Square Theatre podcast last night. I think the episode will be out next month sometime in November. Keep an ear out for that.
Did you get to ask him about Coolest Uncool or if he'd ever shit himself, anything like that?
No, I was beholden to his format, I'm afraid. So he asked me his emergency questions. One of which was very good. I mean, they're all good, but the one I remember is, would you rather know how you're going to die or know what happens to you right after you die?
Oh, right after you die, like you're already dead.
Yeah. Would you rather know how you die or would you rather know how you die or what happens to you right after you die?
What would be the use of the second one?
Yeah, I mean, I went for the second one because I want to know, because the way I interpreted it was like, you would know what your legacy was when you died, after you died, and what people thought of by you and did with, you know.
I guess
literally is about what they do to your body, but I sort of saw it in a broader sense.
I suppose slightly.
I wouldn't want to know how I die because that's horrible.
I suppose slightly sneakily, you can use what happens after you die to figure out how you died.
That's true. Gosh, I missed that.
Because yeah, if they say, cool. you say, you only know what happened after you died, and then it's like, well, once they'd scraped you off the train tracks, you go, aha.
Well, I just go la 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 every time it appeared to me that someone's about to discuss how I died. I just go ba la 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 la. Not listening.
Oh my god. The second season of Gargoyles, Phil was highly affected by the highly publicized trial of O.J. Simpson.
What? How? How? It was a time of O.J. Simpson. It was the time of Gargoyles. How? Did they try and say that he was a gargoyle?
That was his first defense, actually. He said, O.J. Simpson said, look, I couldn't have done it. It was daytime and I was a statue. I just saw the wiki link for Trial of O.J. Simpson in the Gargoyles wiki page. Secondly, as the second season aired, the highly publicized trial of O.J. Simpson drew audiences away from Gargoyles, often due to preemption from the trial's coverage. What?
So there were gargoyle spoilers during the trial of O.J. Simpson. Was that how... Was he filibustering by saying, I've heard in the next episode Goliath gets stabbed in the arm? And everyone's going, oh, come on, man. We're going to watch that.
And you say, I will reveal a spoiler a day of Gargoyles.
Until I am acquitted.
Until my demands are met. But by the time the trial was over, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers had become more powerful as a brand.
No way.
Maybe it's because it was always on Saturday mornings.
Wait, so was Gargoyle even popular at all before the trial of O.J. Simpson? Was it actually doing quite well?
Yeah, apparently, according to whatever absolute sociopath wrote this paragraph.
Yeah, you can't fight the Power Rangers.
Not if you're frozen for when they're awake.
Did you get Power Rangers?
Yes, a lot of Power Rangers in my childhood, the first bit of it in Johannesburg. Very heavily Power Rangers focused, actually.
Yeah, I mean, South Africa must have been the only place where Power Rangers was played where the Power Rangers were less armed than the kids watching them.
Yeah, where the Power Rangers in South Africa were like a kind of noteworthy for their pacifist attitude.
did you decide which one you were? Which Power Ranger you were? Did you choose one?
Oh, my favorite color was green, so I always wanted to just be the green anything.
Oh, yeah. Your favourite colour was green.
When I was a kid, yeah.
What's it now?
Blue? I don't know. I don't really have one now. What's yours now, when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, I liked blue a lot. And now I strayed off for a bit. I went sort of yellow and red and black. I loved black as a kid. And then, but now I'm coming back to blue and like deep blues and sort of dark greens and stuff for sure.
You've said most of the colors there, to be fair.
And I also like white and indigo. I've had a real love for. But when I was a kid, because me and all my cousins were always play together,
yeah.
And because there's so many of us, one of us could be a Power Ranger each, and together we'd make up the Power Rangers. So we'd get together and play, and like we'd be the Power Rangers.
So it matched up.
And yeah.
Was there one?
And
girl?
I went. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. I think there were two girls. There's the yellow Power Ranger and the yellow Power Ranger and the pink Power Ranger.
Of course,
girls.
Yellow and pink. And that's right.
Yeah, and we had two girls. But I want. I remember when because the green Power Ranger was. Oh wait, no. The white Power Ranger was a new addition. He was a bad guy.
Was he bad, or did he turn bad?
He started bad and then he turned good. And I think he became gold.
Yeah.
I think the white Power Ranger became gold.
Oh, no, the Green Ranger turned white.
Oh, the Green... No, yeah, you're right. The Green Ranger turned white.
That's right. And the green one was
I think he was bad. He was bad as green. He was bad as green and then became white.
Oh, did I even comprehend that? Also, very funny to say the white Power Ranger.
There was a guy at uni who did stand up. He did a great bit about it. Gosh, what was his name? Oh, he was really good at stand up.
A guy we knew.
He didn't do it after. Yeah. He did all the college gigs and stuff.
Wait, this rings a bell.
And he had a bit about the Power Rangers and we should.
Didn't he have that bit about the Simpsons as well?
Yeah, that's right. He did a lot of bits about kids shows. And the Power Rangers bit was like how it ingrained these racial hierarchies, or not the racial stereotyping into kids, like from such an early age.
Yes,
and gender stereotypes. The pink Power Ranger was a girl. The black Power Ranger was black. The yellow Power Ranger was Asian, and the white Power Ranger was the leader. And it was such a good bit. It was so good.
He was blonde and he did law.
That's right.
Ah, fuck.
He was good. There were a bunch of people like at uni who were like, wow, you're really good. You know, they were amateur in the nicest way. Like they were gentlemen tinkerers.
Yes.
They had their degree. They were quite focused on what they did. But twice a term, they'd come up with 5 minutes of stand-up. It was really, really good. And then they'd perform it, and then they'd go back to their jobs, and they finished uni, and they became journalists, whatever.
That guy's a barrister, I think.
Ah, yeah.
But that makes sense with stand-up skills, doesn't it?
Barristers are sort of... Yeah, exactly.
God damn. This is going to bug me for 1,000 years now, I think. Jamie!
Sorry, I missed that. Jamie, that's it.
It's going to bug me for 1,000 years, I said. But what I meant was 1 second. It was Jamie. Shout out to Jamie if he's listening. God damn.
Yeah, that's some good stand-up.
Fucking hell. Maybe... What do you think would have happened if we'd been happy with tinkering and then just not doing it for our entire lives forever?
Yeah, I can't imagine it. I sort of envy the ability to just sort of dip into something, be good at it, enjoy it, and then move on.
Yeah, to not really give a shit. That's the sort of like it's quite an advanced, like, it would be impressive to see someone do it with, say, music, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I think impossible, because like to get good at music, you just have to commit. Comedy from time to time, you can just, someone will drop in and they'll just be good straight away. But you can't instinctively know how to play the oboe.
Speak for yourself, Phil. For God's sake, don't drag me into your mediocrity.
And you just start a solo.
Instinctive oboe is one of the best players.
That's the name of your debut and only jazz oboe album.
Yeah.
And it's like black and blue on the front, and it's just you wailing on this oboe, and it's just called Pier Novelli Instinctive Oboe. And it's just you like leaning back with his oboe, just really ripping it.
It's done in that style where it's like a very limited like three color print.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Black bottom
layer. Yeah, all different shades of blue and black.
Yeah, black bottom layer, then like medium blue, and then the oboe is in like gold. Like shiny. Oh man, I wish I could play the oboe now so I could release that album, because I can see the cover art in my head so clearly.
Yeah, it looks so good. It looks so good in my head. Instinctive Oboe by Pier Novelli.
It's Instinctive Oboe. And then, you know, people, it would be like, you know, you have to be very lucky to see him at Ronnie Scott's, you know?
Yeah.
He only drops in once every 5-6 years. I mean, he doesn't even call ahead.
Yeah, you just have to be lucky. You just have to be lucky. Instinctive Oboe.
Oh, fuck. I might go watch Gargoyles now.
Yeah. I wonder if it's one of those old classics that was actually, you know, we'll find some new following now.
I think...
Gargoyles.
I think the strength of our... One of the strengths of our friendship, Phil, is that because both of us are international citizens of nowhere, as Theresa May called us.
Yeah.
We are one of the few people that the other can be nostalgic with any degree of accuracy.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we didn't. You know, we can't do it.
I don't know who decides what shows get to go to South Africa and Malaysia, but there is a lot of crossover.
I think you'll find it's one David Xanatos. Yeah, man, it's one weird guy who's shaped this full sensibility with his baffling choices. Yeah, I mean that, and that's. I think we do well among the third culture kids, the international kids crowd. We got a lot of you guys listening.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
People who went to schools named after nationalities that they are not, for example.
Yes. Like the American School of Paris.
Exactly, and being neither French nor American.
Yeah.
Maybe that's our niche. Maybe that's our niche, the whole UN vibe. The number one downloaded podcast in the United Nations.
Yeah, that's what they're actually all listening to. You know when there's footage of the UN and everyone's got their earpieces in? that's not the translators. They're listening to Pod.
And when they're looking really serious, it's because they're listening to that bit where the woman shits her own pussy.
Oh, by the way, I finished the Nuremberg series on Radio 4, and I recommend it to everyone. It's so good.
Okay,
and there's just so much interesting stuff.
No spoilers?
Huh, sorry? No spoilers, yeah. Maybe they get out. Who knows? I didn't realize how many firsts the Nuremberg trial was.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, it was the first time, like, genocide was basically defined in those terms. First time wars against humanity was even considered as a possibility.
Yeah.
And also the first time that I guess the first time a kind of international court was convened, and it was the first time that people had those earpieces in at like a convention. It was the first time they had live interpretation.
Live translation, that's
through
right.
Headphones. Yeah, and at first the judges were like, we can't have headphones on all the time. We look like Telegram girls. That was
like
honestly
like
there.
Moon men.
And it was just like this mad dash. They had to have so many interpreters because they had to have like English to German, German to English, German to French, French to English. And they had like 36 interpreters on at once. It was crazy.
I mean, it's astonishing. It's all on BBC, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all on BBC Sounds, Nuremberg.
You would hear this on the BBC?
Yeah, for once, this is something you would hear on the BBC.
That's right. What you won't hear on the BBC is they are completely unwilling. The MSM don't want to hear about David Xanatos and the Illuminati.
You know what you won't hear on the BBC? Anything about the Age of Gargoyles. They're conspicuously silent about the Age of Gargoyles. I don't recall hearing a start the week about the Age of Gargoyles. Interesting, isn't it?
You stop Nick Robinson in the street and ask about gargoyles, and he doesn't even say anything. He just looks confused and frightened and runs away.
He gives you a hurried response about not having the time. And runs and dashes off, quickens his pace nervously.
Every BBC employee I ask about gargoyles doesn't seem to have a clue what I'm asking them about.
You go up to the BBC and say, "I'm here about gargoyles," and they'll just pull down a shutter like a bank that's going bust.
Ignorance or something much worse.
What are they keeping from us?
Gargoyles, I bet.
Xanatos has got to them.
Xanatos has got to them, and that's why it's illegal to sneak onto the roof of the BBC's offices and take photographs, because that's where the gargoyles are. And not for any other reason would it be illegal to do that. All right, well, I genuinely might go watch a YouTube clip of the intro to remind myself of that extraordinary monologue.
I'm going to do the same.
What are you going to do after that, Phil? Are you going to unwrap your bins and bin your bin bag bins?
I'm going to unwrap my bins and see if it is truly Al Kartoff and... what was it?
Absolute Falkauf.
Absolute Falkauf. Hopefully it's not Falkauf at all. And then we're going to see a friend's baby.
Ooh, baby visit. Very nice. I should. You know what I'm going to do, Phil? I'm going to watch the Gargoyles thing, and I'm going to go for a bloody walk.
Wow, where are you going to walk to?
I'm going to walk.
And where are you going to walk from?
I'm going to crawl until I'm going to start my walk. Because you got to walk before you can crawl. You got to crawl before you can walk. And it's good for the core.
And if you're a gargoyle, you got to be a stone for 1,000 years before you can walk.
That's right. After you are betrayed by the very humans you swore to protect. I mean, God knows what that's about. Tell me that, Xanatos. Anyway, have a good week, listeners, and we will see you next week.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.